So, day one of 2013, and so far things are looking pretty good. I'm always optimistic when we get to this datum, this place to reflect on the year that's just passed and look towards the year ahead. But it is just a line in our imagination, isn't it? We kind of feel like we need to mark the time as we to continue to move forward, because human beings just love to measure and love to label and love to name everything in its place. I wrote a blog post, was it yesterday? I think it might be yesterday, and it could have been the day before, called 13 Things to Remember for 2013, and I'm going to read it right now. So if you've read the blog post, you probably don't have to listen to this, but if you didn't, I will give you a summary. Say if you go into my blog, which is documentally.com, and it starts with, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, but I do like to remind myself what's important. I thought if I were to write myself a list for the next 12 months, I might be able to focus and make even more of the year ahead. Also, if I share it here, I might be more inclined to remember it. And so I guess I'm sharing it twice, once on my blog, and now I'm reading it out for some strange reason. I guess it's because in many ways I will write lists and forget about them. It's so easy to write a list in an app and then completely forget about it. It's so easy to write something on a bit of paper and then forget about it. But today I think I've started off on the right foot, especially with one of the things on my list being read more. And I've, every spare moment today I've been picking up a book and reading it. It's an ebook, and it's Albert Camus's The Stranger. I don't even know why it was on my Kindle. I think I downloaded a load of books that were in a folder that said 100 books you must read before you die somewhere, and that must have been one of them. I basically just looked at how many dots were underneath the title, looked like a short book that I could manage in a day, and pretty much have. So number one on my list, life doesn't have to be complicated. Instead of taking a whole heap of projects in one go, I'd like to focus on one thing at a time and do that one thing well. I guess that's because at the moment I do tend to have a lot of unfinished stuff happening, and it is a trait of mine. If it's a personal project, it's not for a client, or it's just something I'm interested in that I'd like to do, there's a folder here of half edited stuff in, there's a folder here, there's books here, there's stuff half made there. And so I really think that I should just see things through a little bit more. Focus on one thing at a time. Look for the lessons in every experience, I say, and attitude is the driving force in this. My circumstances don't dictate happiness. Attitude does. Number two, impress myself over others. Living within the online spaces as often as we do, it's easy to get sucked into the like me mentality. I hope I do things because I want to do them, and not just because of what someone may or may not think as a result of what I do. On the whole, I can be quite judgmental of my actions and think that if I can impress myself, I've done a good job. And one of the reasons for me writing this is because I do occasionally find myself censoring myself. Interestingly, I do it a lot less on app.net, and I find myself saying stuff I wouldn't necessarily say on Twitter, and that worries me a little bit because, you know, we try so very hard to be ourselves in these places, or at least I hope we do, that when you find yourself suddenly thinking, well, if I say this, it might upset a few people, it is kind of hard to let go. And I don't want to be thinking about what other people are thinking most of the time, because self-censorship's bad enough as it is. And I don't want to be hoping to not upset people, because if I do upset, then there may well be a trait in my personality that needs checking and adjusting, maybe. So, number three, quite contentious in some people's minds. I say, buy things that last. Remember, the value of a thing can be measured more than with its cost. When I make an expensive purchase this year, I want to remember to ask myself, how long will this last? There are so many things made with love, care and attention, objects designed to outlive their owner. Everything else is disposable. This unfortunately includes many of the tools I use in my job, the cameras and mobile tech. Perhaps one day these objects can also last a lifetime. Why in our insanely wasteful world do we stand for built-in obsolescence in industrial design? Why on earth design a product with a limited useful life? I enjoy beautifully crafted and well-made things, and even more so the stories connected to them. I'm also inspired by how they are made and how they feel and the art contained within them. Yet it's important to remember these objects are only things. Don't let your possessions own you. Pass them on. Share and inspire others when you no longer have a use for them. You will still have stories. You'll still have the experience connected to these objects. So, torn between the fact that I do clutter my life with things, but I don't necessarily think there's that much attachment to these things. In fact, recently I found a lot of sentimental stuff left over from my late mother, and I took to photographing it so that I have a digital record, because sometimes just looking at that object brings back the memories connected to it, using it as a cue for memories, and I didn't necessarily need the object itself. It might be in the future that DNA memory or the imprinting of the actual molecules on that tell way more of a story than what we can see by just looking at it right now. And I may regret passing on or disposing of things that have an emotional connection as such. But for many years I've been a hoarder, and I do, you know, find myself attracted to shiny objects that I can justify by saying, whoa, I do need this camera because the video is so much better than the other stuff that I produce and I need that for my job. It's so difficult when cameras seem out of date so quickly, mobile devices seem out of date so quickly, and you might say, well, it's because technology moves on, but surely one of the things that needs to move on is the ability for our technology to potentially metamorphosize within the object itself, so that we don't feel the need to constantly upgrade. Do you remember when we used to upgrade our PCs? Do you remember? Just whack more RAM in it. It wasn't buy a whole entire new unit. I have a MacBook Air in front of me right now that I use every day. And right next to it, I've got a MacBook Air that I upgraded from because I needed a bigger solid state hard drive. I needed better memory. I needed a faster computer. Yet for 90% of the functions I use a computer for, the old MacBook Air is perfectly fine. And I'm contemplating on how I'm going to get the most out of that, whether it's selling it on. But that is incredibly wasteful, and I do hate myself for it. What can you do? What can you do? Think more about how long things last and put the pressure maybe on these organisations a little bit more. Make informed choices. Yeah, sacrifices need to be made, don't they? I'm only at number four, I better hurry up. Make others feel special, number four. I can be selfish. Yeah, I find making other people happy one of the most rewarding things. So, if you are going to be selfish, why not be selfish in the way that you feel good when you do good for other people? And there's a kind of a win-win going on there. I'm definitely working on my selfishness. Relax, number five. Spending a day doing nothing is okay. I've realised that recently. It's been so nice having some downtime. I don't meditate. I used to meditate. Occasionally, I found the time to be alone or sit and walk and think. I quite often go for a walk every day now, just in order so that I can find some headspace. And then, of course, I had have the shed that I'm sat in right now at the bottom of the garden. That's kind of my space as well. But I tend to be very productive in there and not just sit there. Now I'm refinding books. I'm thinking it is okay to do this. And not just to work. Sometimes I'll beat myself up over this inactivity, but in reality, these times are important. The silencing of the mind when all around is chaos helps me feel more inspired by the little things. These moments reflecting help me to understand myself a little more. And I think that would be the same for many people. Number six, get good at something that is not my job. It's easy when you love your work to find it all consuming. We are made of other things though, and experiences outside of our working bubble are vital if we are to have a rounded perspective on the world around us. I'm terrible for this. I can connect anything within my work. Anything I do online, I can say it's work. I'm having a conversation on Twitter, this is work. And you find that you're quite often working because you love your job so much and there isn't any other stuff going on. There's a guitar I'm looking at right now. Let me walk over to it. Get off this chair that's very comfortable. Right here, there is a plectrum tucked in, so strumming it would sound a little bit weird. It's almost in tune. It's hung there for, what, a couple of months without me even so much as picking it up. Wouldn't it be great if I could just have a go at the guitar and learn more than the few chords I have? I've probably had a guitar for 20 years. Probably only played it for 20 hours. Not even that. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. And I respect guitar players so much. Mostly because of their dedication. Number seven, keep a diary. I do keep a diary at the moment. I don't really want to keep keeping that diary. I've done three or four different updates just today. I started to do this with the help of an app, and I will tell you the app. It's called Day One. There are many apps out there, but I like the fact that this uses Dropbox and syncs across my devices so that I can pick up any device, add a photograph, or update, and if it geotags my position and also adds the weather in that position at that time. It's not only really therapeutic doing that, it also helps me document and track my growth as well as learn from my mistakes. And speaking of mistakes, number eight, remember it's okay to have regrets. It's better to regret what I've done than to regret what I didn't do. I know that's a little bit of a cliche, but I'm coming to terms with that more and more. I'm hoping that the mistakes I've made make me who I am. I'm pretty sure they do, and I know everybody makes mistakes. To err is human. To learn from these mistakes, that's the key. And to not repeat them, that is definitely important. And that's what I'm striving to do. And I'm still learning. Number nine, pay more attention to those I love. And I'm talking about my family here. It's so easy to get wrapped up in our own little worlds and forget those that matter the most. My family are the best adventure I've ever had. And I'm still having that adventure, and I mustn't forget that every day it continues. And these last couple of weeks have just been incredible. The things I've learned, the things I've observed, it sounds quite selfish again, doesn't it? The things I've done, and I'm hoping the things I've been able to give. You know, even through the testing times of getting a little bit of cabin fever, because when it's so wet outside, sometimes you just hang around indoors and read the same books and play the same games. But what an amazing adventure it is. And I need to have more adventures, which brings me to number 10. Have more adventures. And they don't have to involve a flight somewhere with biting insects. They can literally occur in your back garden. Keep exploring. Try something new. Keep taking chances. Stay curious. And you will be able to see adventure in everything. I've got a plan to just go walking one day. Just walk in one direction and see where I end up at the end of the day. Just try and see if I can walk the entire day. And what will I see on the way? I'll take a camera and maybe record some audio. And no plans. That's a mini adventure. That's a micro adventure. And it's just as adventurous as jumping on a flight and going to the jungle. Just slightly less sweaty. Number 11, get fit. I don't know about slightly less sweaty, actually, because a lot of walking does tend to give me a bit of sweat. So yeah, this is the first year that I've actually felt that life is battering my body. Is it something to do with being 40? Very likely, mostly on a subconscious level because people implant that in your brain. But I'm suddenly reminded that if I don't keep an eye out for my health, it will slip away. So I do need to use my Fitbit to its maximum and do my 10,000 steps a day and hopefully eat better as well. I've been nothing but sick the last few days. I mean, today I woke up, I thought, you know, that was it, my throat completely closed up. And yesterday I went out and felt a little bit dizzy because I didn't have the strength to even just do the basic things, and everybody in the house has kind of come down with some bug at some point. So diet, exercise, fresh air, more of it. Number 12, read more. And I'm doing that right now, and I don't mean tweets. I look at the shelves of my smartest friends and they bow under the weight of the world's wisdom. I know they've read them all as well. You only have to talk to any passionate reader for 5 minutes to see that. It's no longer enough that I just surround myself with these people. I want to know what they know. They have just as many hours in the day as I do. If you go to a house of someone like Sizemore, and it's just wall-to-wall books. You cannot move for books. Even the guest room that I occasionally crash in thanks to his generosity, when I find myself without anywhere in London, it is just, you know, there's a wall of books in there, and I find myself looking at them going, there's an awful lot of words here for a couple of people to have digested. Yeah, he has, and he'll pick up books and he'll quote from them, and that just blows my mind. I've got no excuse, because, you know, these people have just as many hours in the day as I do. I just choose to do other stuff, obviously. I have a shelf load of books to read and an e-reader stuffed to capacity. It's just a matter of remembering the words of Dr. Seuss. The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. I love that. So I'm going to read more. Defo. I'm doing it already. And 13, slightly hippie-ish with my final wrap-up item on the list. Be present. Now is a really nice place. I need to remember the mistakes I've made, but don't dwell on them. I'll continue to learn from my past to be equipped for the present, and the future will form from this. Life is passing faster than I expected it would. But when I enjoy the moment, it slows down. Enjoy and savour every minute. This is so true. When I travelled, time just slowed down to an almost halt as everything was different. Different breakfast in a different town, and different bed and a different night, different views. Whereas you get into the routine of civilized life and, you know, the same breakfast every morning, the same commute, the same office for some, the same job. Your brain kind of compresses time. Your months become weeks, and your weeks become days, and your days become hours. And that's why I think it's really important to observe the minute, because it's another way of punctuating the moment. So, 2013 is upon us. I hope you have a wonderful year, that you remember to dream and remember your dreams, that you take chances, make things, and give inspiration. I hope you find adventure in everything that you do, and that your work is as much fun as your play. And with that, I shall sign off. And if I haven't wished you it already, have a wonderful 2013.